Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:23. Okay? Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, okay? Together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, we dare not say that you are out of your mind. Okay. Alright, so we've been looking at the subject of the local church. Hallelujah. Okay, in the last service, we focused on church membership and accountability. Amen. You know, we said that right from the book of Acts, Christians are saved and added to the church. Remember that? Okay, and not only that, we also saw Christians subtracted, right, from the church as an act of discipline. Okay, so we said that it is an aberration for a Christian not to be part of some local assembly. Amen. You know, those who are saved must join the company of the saved. Hallelujah. You know, a person becomes a member of the body of Christ at salvation. Amen. That happens automatically by faith in Christ, but a person does not automatically become a part of a local church. Amen. You know, we've seen that, right? A person must make a deliberate, conscious effort to become a member of a local church. Okay, so, and we said that it is required for every Christian to be part of a church in his locale. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we moved on to ask the question that if this is the case, why do some Christians refuse to be part of local churches? And then we said several reasons. You know, selfishness is one. Amen. Those who are concerned about only themselves, they don't want to help others. Amen. They don't want to serve others. Praise the Lord. Okay. And secondly, is not wanting to be accountable. Okay. Some Christians just want to live anyhow without anyone to check them. You get it? Okay, so as such, Christians will definitely run away from a local gathering where there is order and discipline. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then we moved on to narrow in just a little bit on this local assembly. Amen. We saw how you can become a member of Dazzle Church. Amen. So it was clear. Okay, what is expected of you. Amen. And by you. Okay, and also how your membership can be terminated. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I trust all of that was clear. So, in this service, what we want to do now is we want to quickly ask and answer a question by way of a new subheading. Okay, so we want to ask the question, why did God give local churches? Hallelujah. Why did God give local churches? Okay, what goes on in the local church? Or what is supposed to go on there? Okay, so we want to find out, okay? So, a church must know what she's doing. You follow that? We must know what we are doing as a church. You know, there's a story that was said of a pilot who let the passengers know through the PA system. You know what he told them? He said, hello passengers, okay, I have good news and I have bad news. You follow that? Okay. The bad news is we are lost. Amen. But the good news is, we are having a good time. I see you open your mouth. You know, if I'm the one, I will jump out, amen, and trust the angels of God to carry me. Say, we are lost, but we are having a good time. Ah! Hey! What? Okay, but the truth is, that is how several churches are today. Amen? You know, we don't know what we are doing. But you know, we just have several activities, okay, numerous activities without a clear objective. Okay, just having a good time without direction. No, that shouldn't be. Is that clear? Okay, we must have a philosophy of ministry. Hallelujah. A philosophy of ministry. Now, a church's philosophy of ministry must include three important things. You follow that? Three important things. Now, number one, the purpose of the church. So you may list here. The purpose of the church. Why do we do what we do? Amen. Why do we do what we do? Okay, the purpose of the church. Now, we've said that all that we do within the local church is to glorify God, right? Okay, God is to be glorified in the local assembly. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, okay? It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, where? In the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so our activities must be carried out with this purpose in mind. Okay, we want to glorify God, not men. You follow that? Our activities must be channeled toward this goal, the glory of God, not men. Praise the Lord. Okay, then number two, the pursuit of the church. Okay, the pursuit of the church. Now, this refers to what we do when we gather. Follow that? What we do when we gather. Okay, the objectives of the church. Alright, what do we stand for and what do we seek to achieve? Now, okay, you should listen to Lighting Up Men, amen, that teaching, to understand the pursuit of Dazzle Church, amen. It is made clear in that particular teaching, okay. You can get it on our website, it's there for free. Praise the Lord. Okay, then number three, the practices of the church. Number one is what? Okay, number two. Okay, now number three, the practices of the church. Now, this describes our activities. You follow that? How we go about accomplishing our objectives. Follow that? How we go about accomplishing our objectives. So this will include our programs, amen, our policies, and our procedures. Okay? Programs, policies, and procedures. Now, these activities can be further divided into two. Okay, into two. Now, the first we have internal activities, and the second will be external activities. Now, internal activities are the things that we do when we gather within the local church. You follow that? Those things we do when we gather within the local church. So they include the worship of God and edifying ourselves. You follow that? The worship of God and edifying ourselves. Now the external deals with reaching the world. Hallelujah. Okay, reaching the world. Now this would be done via evangelism. You follow that? Okay, outreaches. So a church must know what exactly they are doing. Okay, now that would be the objectives, right? Okay, and also have procedures to carry out those objectives. So the church must have a philosophy of ministry. Praise the Lord. What are we doing? What are we gathered for? Okay, what are we doing to achieve our goals, our mission, okay, our objectives? Okay, that is a local church. Don't be like the pilot just flying, amen, several activities. You know, some church has, you know, so many activities, but since they are not growing. Do you get it? This is the reason why. So know what exactly you are doing. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's look now properly at what happens when we gather. Amen. What happens when we gather? Now, first of all, church meetings are often called church services, right? Church services, you know, from a child, that's what it's been called. Amen. You know, church services. Now, that word service could also mean worship. Hallelujah. Worship, from the Greek word proskuneo. Okay, proskuneo. That's P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. P-R-O-S-N-K-U-N-E-O. Okay? K-U-N-E-O. The last O accentuated. Which means to do reverence to. Okay? To do reverence to show obeisance to. Obeisance spelled O-B-E-I-S-A-N-C-E. Okay? To show obeisance to. Now, in classical Greek, proskuneo was done by bowing down. Okay? To kiss the feet of one's superior. You follow that? The word literally means to bow down and kiss. Okay? So it was done that way in classical Greek, to bow down and kiss the feet of one's superior. Now you see that word used in Matthew 20:20. Please turn there. Matthew 20:20. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him. Now him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? With her sons kneeling down. Underline that. Kneeling down. That's proskuneo, okay? And asking something from him. So proskuneo was a show of honor or service to someone greater. You follow that? A show of honor, service, deference to someone greater. So Christian service or worship will therefore be any act we carry out in the church that brings glory to God. You follow that? That is Christian worship, Christian service. Any act carried out within the church that brings glory to God. Now, it includes singing, but it is not limited to singing. You follow that? I know when we say worship today, what comes to people's minds immediately is singing. No! Okay? Worship in the Bible is any act that gives glory to God. You follow that? So singing is involved, okay? But it is not limited to singing. So we gather to worship God by our acts. That is service. Do you get it? Okay? When we say we're having church service, that's what we mean. You follow that? We gather to worship God by our acts. Okay, and you see that we worship God because only He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. It says, you are worthy, underline that, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Okay, so our worship doesn't make God greater. Amen. Amen. Okay, we worship Him because we have seen how great He is. Praise the Lord. Okay, so our worship is therefore birthed out of the revelation of the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Okay, we behold Him, how marvelous He is, amen, and it inspires worship in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Okay, now also note that worship can either be personal or corporate. Okay, worship can either be personal or corporate. That is, one person or in a congregation. Hallelujah. Okay, it can be done by one person or within a congregation. Now, you know, this particular teaching is studying worship within a corporate setting, right? Okay, so we'll focus on that for this particular teaching. Now, you see that the early church had times of corporate worship. Amen. They had times of corporate worship. Look at Acts 27. Acts 20, verse 7, okay? Acts 27. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together. Now that is corporate worship. You see that? Okay? Together with others to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. You see that? So they came together. That will be corporate worship, okay? One with another. Okay, see 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. It says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, okay, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, you know, we said that they gathered on the first day of the week, right? Okay, now, this is called the Lord's Day. Okay, you see here, it's called the first day of the week, right? Okay, it's also known as the Lord's Day. Look at Revelation 1:10. Okay, Revelation 1:10. Okay, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, that is the first day of the week. You see that? Okay, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Okay, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Okay, and this day was chosen because our Lord Jesus Christ was raised on the first day of the week. Remember that? Okay, look at Matthew 28 verse 1. Okay, I will run through now, so please be handy with your Bible. Matthew 28 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, underline that, the first day of the week began at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Okay, so this was on the day of his resurrection. Look at Mark 16 verse 2. Okay, Mark 16:2. It says, very early in the morning on the first day of the week. Underline that. The first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Okay, you see that there again. See Luke 24 verse 1. Luke 24:1. Okay, it says, now on the first day of the week, underline that, first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they are prepared. Okay, now not only is Jesus raised on the first day, he appears to his disciples on the first day also. Amen. He appears to his disciples on the first day also. Okay, on the first day as well. Okay, now first of all, to Mary Magdalene, John 20:11. Please turn there quickly. John 20 verse 11. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Okay, whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, let me know where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Okay, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Okay, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Okay, now this happened on the first day of the week. You follow that? On the first day of the week. Okay, you see that Jesus also appeared to the other women. Okay, he also appeared to the other women. Look at Matthew 28 verse 8. Okay, Matthew 28:8. It says, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring the disciples word. Okay, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. Okay, so they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now this happened on the first day of the week as well. Okay, now you see as well to two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Remember that story? Luke 24:13. Please turn there. Luke 24:13. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day, okay, the day of his resurrection, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Okay, now as well to Peter, Luke 24:33. Okay, he appeared to Peter as well, Luke 24:33. It says, and they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. See that? So he appeared to Peter, okay, or Simon. Not only that, he appears to 10 out of the 11 disciples. Okay? Remember, Judas had died, right? Okay, so 11. Now he appears to 10 of them. John 20:19. John 20:19. Okay? John 20:19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, underline that, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Okay? Then he appears to all 11 of his disciples at once. Okay? All of them at once. John 20:26. Okay, John 20:26. It says, and after 8 days, underline that. Now, 8 days, the 8th day will be what? A new week, right? Can we say? The first day of a week, right? Okay, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Okay, so the church chose Sunday, or the first day of the week, for worship to commemorate the Lord's resurrection. Amen. You know, for Bible Christians, that will be Saturday, right? For us, Sunday, using the Gregorian calendar, okay, which begins with the Sunday. So they chose the first day of the week for worship, okay? Although we see that our services were held on other days as well. Remember, we saw that, right? Okay, thank you very much. And worship, we have said, does not only entail singing. You follow that? Worship does not only entail singing. Okay? You see that the early church did sing in worship. Okay? They did sing in worship. But collective worship would consist of every reverential act. You follow that? Every reverential act. Inclusive of singing, right? But not exclusive to singing. You follow that? Every reverential act would serve as corporate worship. Okay, so you may list here, or bullet point, corporate worship would include, number one, reading of scripture. Hallelujah. That's what we find within the Bible, reading of scripture. Okay, see 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 4:13. Okay, Paul speaking to Timothy here. Now remember, Timothy is a pastor, right? Okay, it says, till I come, give attention to what? Reading. Underline that, okay? Reading. To exhortation, to doctrine. Now, reading here refers to a public reading of scripture when the church is gathered. You follow that? It refers to the public reading of scripture. It's not personal. You follow that? The public reading of scripture. You see that the early church had a culture of reading out scriptures in the gatherings. Okay, they would gather together and they would read out the scriptures. Look at Colossians 4:16, for example. Colossians 4:16. Colossians 4:16. It says, and when this epistle is read among you. You see that? See that? Underline that, okay? Epistle is read among you, see that it is read also, underline that, read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. You see that? Underline that, okay? Read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, this refers to a public reading, okay, of the scriptures. A corporate reading, okay? Also, in 1 Thessalonians 5, please turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 27. 1 Thessalonians 5, 27. Are you there? Okay, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read, underline that, be read to all the brethren. See that? So the scriptures were read out loud because there were few copies available. Amen. Not everyone had a Bible in the congregation like we do today. So you see, we are very lucky, right? Okay. Today, everyone has his own Bible. But back then, you know, I told you there were no photocopier machines, right? Okay, so they needed to write it by hand. Do you get it? So a church would have one copy. You follow that? Then a preacher or a speaker would come up, right? And read from the only copy that the church had. So imagine if someone tears that copy. Ah! So yeah, just sit down. If I'm a pastor, say, just sit down and write it again with your hands. Amen. Just sit down, write it again. Imagine if we needed to write the Bible with our hands. The 66 books. You know, many people would take their Bible more seriously. Hallelujah. See why the early church took God's word seriously? They had to sweat to get it. But now it's everywhere. So, you know, with familiarity comes disrespect, dishonor. Hallelujah. Now, next, corporate worship also included prayer. Okay? Corporate worship also included prayer. Look at Acts 2:42. Acts chapter 2:42, okay? It says, and they, okay, that is Christians, believers, right? The local church, right? Okay, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, okay? In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, fellowship means they came together. Okay? Now, when they came together, what did they do? Prayers. You see that? They prayed. Amen. Okay? So, they ate together, right? But they even ate Bible doctrine, right? Right? They also ate Bible doctrine, right? The apostles' doctrine. Okay? And they also prayed. Hallelujah. Okay, look at Acts 4:31. Okay? It says, and when they had prayed, underline that, they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, underline that, assembled together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay, look at Acts 12:5. Acts 12:5. Okay, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, underline that, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You see that? So they gather together, right? Okay, you see that in verse 12 of that same chapter. It says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son name was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You see that? Okay, underline that, okay? Many were gathered together praying. So prayer was part of corporate worship. You see that? Okay, it was part of corporate worship. Now, not only that, our Bible teaching was also a part of the services. Okay, Bible teaching, Bible doctrine was also a part of the services. Look at Acts 20:7, for example. Acts 20:7, okay. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message. Underline that. Continued his message. Can we say continued his sermon? Okay. Until midnight. So you see, our Bible teaching was part of the services. Also see 1 Timothy 4:13 again. 1 Timothy 4:13. Now, we were here earlier on. 1 Timothy 4:13 again. It says, till I come, give attention to reading. Can we say the public reading of scripture? Okay. Now, look at this. To exhortation. You follow that? to what? Doctrine. Underline that. Exhortation and doctrine. Now, exhortation and doctrine would refer to teachings from the scriptures. You follow that? So remember, the scriptures are read, right? Okay, now the same scriptures read are also expounded upon. Okay, in a prayer. If you see that? Okay, now the church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:15. Turn there. 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Underline that. Okay, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now this means that the church is the custodian, right, of the truth of God's word. That's what it means, pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the custodian. So it is within the church that you find truth. Hallelujah. You hear that? It is within the church that you find truth. Truth is not found in the world. Amen? Truth is not found in the world. In the world is the spirit of lies and error. Amen? Lies and error. In John 8, Jesus tells sinners. Now turn there. John 8:44. Okay? He tells sinners. He says, you are of your father, the devil, John 8:44, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now look at this. And does not stand in the truth. Do you see that? Underline that, okay? Does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Underline that. No truth in him. Now he says, when he speaks a lie, underline that, a lie, okay? He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar. Underline that, a liar. And the father of it. Underline that. The father of it. Okay? But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. You see that? So the devil models falsehood. Do you see that? That's what it means, the father of it. He models falsehood. You see that the very first time Satan is mentioned in the Bible, he was lying. Think about that. The very first time Satan is mentioned in the Bible, he was lying. Let's see that. Genesis 3:1. Okay, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, see that? You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this was a lie. You see that? It was a lie. You see that much later, in verse 13 of that same chapter, the woman admits that she was deceived. Amen? Look at verse 13 of that same chapter. It says, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, what? The serpent did what? Deceived me. Underline that. Deceived me, and I ate. Now that word deceived, it translates the Hebrew nashah. Nashah. That's N-A-S-H-A. Nashah. Which means to lead astray. Do you see that? To lead astray. That is what the devil does. He leads men astray. So you see that the very first manifestation of Satan in the Bible was to draw men away from God's truth. Do you see that? So he replaces what is true with lies. That is the devil. And you see that lies are a characteristic of this world. Okay, lying is a trait of the old man. Look at Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9, okay? It says, do not lie to one another. Underline lie, okay? Since you have put off what? The old man with his deeds. Underline that. With his deeds. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You see that? So lying is a deed of the old man. You follow that? A man in sin. So the church exists as God's defender of truth. Okay? In a world that tries to corrupt God's word. Do you see that? That's why it's called the pillar and ground of truth. Do you get it now? Okay? In a world that seeks to corrupt the truth of God's word, the church stands as the custodian. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? We safeguard the truth. Say we safeguard the truth. Say we serve as God's custodians of the truth. Praise the Lord. Okay? You see that the Apostle Paul, he warns us of a time when people will give heed to deceiving spirits. Okay, he warns us of that time. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. Okay? 1 Timothy 4:1. Okay? Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times. Okay? So can we call this a predictive prophecy? Okay, some will depart from the faith. Now that will refer to doctrine. Okay, you follow that? Sound doctrine, giving it to deceiving spirit. Underline that. Giving it to deceiving spirit. And that is, right? Doctrines of demons. You follow that? So these spirits, how do they deceive? Through doctrine. Do you see that? False teachings. Look at verse 2. It says, speaking lies, underline that, lies, in hypocrisy, having their own conscience shared with a hot iron, okay, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You see that? Underline that. Believe and know the truth. So Paul warns of this time. And the truth is, that time is here. Already. Amen. You hear some things being taught in church today and you are wondering, how did we get here? Those were the times that Paul spoke of here. So more than ever, the church has a duty. Amen. A task, a responsibility to arm its members against falsehood. Do you follow that? Okay. Any church who loves its members will arm them. You follow that? ARM, arm them from falsehood. Amen. Not every time free food. Hallelujah. Yourself, pity yourself now. Ha! You eat in every fellowship, but you don't know anything. Pity yourself. There is a spirit of falsehood. And that's why it's the same you later on. You say you are saying, I am Matanga in your dream. How you say, I am Matanga. Say you are saying, I am Matanga in your dream. Why won't you? That is the price you pay. Every time. Free food. Free food. Free food. You just want to play in church. No. Okay. The church has a duty. Okay. To equip its members against falsehood. You should be able to tell. Amen. Amen. If I do my job well, when you have false doctrine, you should be able to tell. You know, like the illustration I give. You know, some people say things like, God does not bless you because you give. Right? But your giving helps you tap into God's blessing. Uncle, you are saying the same thing. Amen. Whether you enter the house through the front door or through the back door, you've entered the house. Amen. You are saying the same thing. Okay, so a good local church, a sound local church, will equip you. Amen. And if you say, no, this is not sound doctrine, and this would happen only via teaching. Amen. Only via proper Bible preaching. So our members must be educated in God's word. Hallelujah. They must be educated in God's word. Now, who would educate them? The spiritual leaders within the local church. You follow that? And that is why you see that one of the qualifications for a bishop is an ability to teach well. Amen? You know, if you have a call of God upon your life, that's not the time for you to go and start a local church. No, we have very funny people today. God tells you are called into ministry. Fine. Be trained first. Amen? I tell you, we didn't start this church till after 15 years of me being trained. Amen? Don't think I just woke up one morning, I saw the Holy Ghost in a dream. Say, George, my son, I have called you to the nations. So I said, oh, yes, Lord, I will be. 15 years. Do you get it? Do you get it? Before we started this, okay, of Bible training. Okay, so the bishop must be qualified to teach. It mustn't be an ignoramus. You see some people, they have thousands of people in their church, and you're wondering, how on earth did this guy become a pastor? He doesn't know jack, like we say. Doesn't know anything. You must be trained. Look at 1 Timothy 3:1. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:1. Okay? A qualification. You must know how to teach. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:1. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, now that's a pastor, okay, spiritual leader, he desires a good work. Okay, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, what? Able to teach. See that? Underline that, okay? Able to teach. So don't have a pastor who can teach. Amen. Now, those who are taught are now to teach others also. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay, you know I've told you it's a cycle, right? You're trained, then you train others, right? Okay, 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Underline that. Teach others also. You see that? So, I'm taught, right? Then I teach others. The cycle continues. Hallelujah. Therefore, the church was given by God to grow the saints in the truth of His word. Do you see that now? That is why God gave local churches. To grow the saints, mature the saints, develop the saints in the truth of His word. Look at Ephesians 4:11. I've told you, if you want to know what happens in a local church, just go to Ephesians 4. Okay, that is the template. You can use Ephesians 4 to judge whether you are in a good local church or not. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. It says, and He Himself gave. You see that? Underline that. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, where were they given? In the church, right? Okay, so we can say He gave them where? In the church. Now, why were they given? Verse 12. For, you see that? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You see that? So that means the local church is supposed to produce ministers. You see that? We train you for ministry, for the edifying or building up, growing up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That means the doctrine. Hallelujah. Okay, and of the knowledge, underline that, knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to a mature man, okay, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, you see that, or immature in thinking, right, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, underline that, doctrine, okay, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So you can tell, right? Right? When you see false doctrine, you can tell. When someone is trying to deceive you, you can tell. Okay? But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So you now supply something. Do you see that? You are grown so that you can now supply to the body. You see that? Okay? According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Hallelujah. Okay? So you do your share. Amen? Okay, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see that? So I've told you, you can summarize all of this as what? Training and what? Ministry. Praise the Lord. discipleship, and then ministry. So that is the end goal. You know, how do I know I'm in a good local church? We'll see all of this, okay? Am I being trained for ministry? Amen? Am I being trained? You know, there are some things that are taught that can't train you for ministry. I hope you know. Okay, if you are in a church every Sunday is relationship seminar. You become a relationship minister. Amen? Hallelujah. You are in a church every Sunday is money, 7 keys to financial breakthrough. 10 keys to have your success. You can't grow. Do you get it? You can't grow. So a good local church would equip the saints for ministry. So teaching is therefore a major part of Christian worship. You see that? I want to say the major part. Okay, but I might have a little bit of trouble with my theologian friends. So let me just say a major part. Hallelujah. Okay, of Christian worship. And this is what we find in the early church. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 11:26. Okay. A culture of teaching. That's what we inherited. I mean, how did we get here? Sometimes I look at what goes on in churches and I wonder, how did we get here? I remember the days of our fathers when they would meet under the trees. Right? They would go to the mountains to learn God's word under the autumn for us. Now today, everyone just wants his church to be filled on time. They will do anything. Reduce prayer, reduce the word. No. Amen? No. That is not the culture we received. Look at Acts 11:26. Okay? Acts 11:26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year. Say a whole year. Okay? They assembled with the church and taught. You see that? A great many people and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So you see, a teaching meeting that lasted 1 year. Meeting every day. So they kept teaching on and on and on and on again. Look at Acts 15:35. Acts 15:35. It says, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch teaching. Underline that. And preaching. Underline that. Okay. The word of the Lord with many others also. Okay. Remember, when our Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave the earth physically, he gave an instruction. Right? What was that instruction? Make disciples. Matthew 28:18. Turn there. Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. 19. Go therefore and make disciples. Disciples are students, mentees, okay, in the Greek, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, how does this happen? How do we make disciples? Verse 20. Teaching them. Hallelujah. Okay, to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. See that? Okay, and this would only happen within the local church structure. You follow that? Okay, so let me say this to you, that as we teach God's word accurately, we are worshiping Him. Do you see that? Sound Bible teaching is worship to God. I remember I put that on at social media and someone reached me from the US. Said, what do you mean by that? I said, your worship of God is how much you value His word. Someone reached me, what do you mean by that? I had to explain to him. Yes, it is. I show how much I value God, how much I honor God, by how much premium I place upon His word. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now next, singing was also a part of Christian worship. Amen. Singing. And this is the one that plenty people know. It was also a part of Christian worship. Look at Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Okay. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms, underline psalms, okay, and hymns, underline hymns, and spiritual songs, underline spiritual songs, okay, singing and making melody, underline singing, okay, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look at 20. Giving thanks, hallelujah, underline that, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that there? Okay, see Colossians 3:16. Ephesians and Colossians are quite similar. You know, sometimes Paul even uses the same words, you know, in those books. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And look at this, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. You see that? Unlike psalms, okay? And hymns, unlike hymns. And spiritual songs, unlike that, spiritual songs. Singing, underline that, singing. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see that singing was a part of worship. Okay? A part of reverence, deference to God. Now this practice of singing as worship would be taken from the Old Testament. Okay, look at Psalm 100 verse 2. Psalm 100 verse 2. It was taken from the Old Testament. Psalm 100 verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Underline that, okay? With singing. So the Old Testament Jews sang to praise Yahweh. You see that? Okay? And the church too as well, you know, sang hymns as they gathered. Okay? The church sang hymns as they gathered. Now you see that some Bible scholars believe that the following Bible passages were actually hymns. Now I'll give you some references. Now we may not have time to look at all of them because of time. Okay, so what you do when you get back, please just look at them. Okay, they believe that these Bible passages were actually hymns sung in the early church. So Ephesians 1:3-14. Okay, Ephesians 1:3-14. Okay, Philippians 2:6-11. Philippians 2:6-11. Okay, Colossians 1:15-20. Colossians 1:15-20. And 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:16. So these portions of scripture are taught by several Bible scholars to be hymns. Okay, sung in the early church. And when you read them, you see that they speak very well of the resurrection and the work of Christ. Okay, the incarnation and salvation. Praise the Lord. Okay, so our singing when we gather together is worship to God. You see that now? Okay, our singing when we gather together is worship to God. Now next, giving. Okay, giving was also a part of the service. Okay, see 1 Corinthians 16:2. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. And that's money, okay? Alright? I remember... oh Lord. You know, someone used this verse and he put a stick in the offering basket. I'm not joking. In a place where I used to pastor at some point, okay? He said, let him lay something aside. He said, Paul did not tell us something. So he put a stick there. Hallelujah. Strange folks we have in church today. Okay, so that is money, okay? Storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. You see that? So there were collections, right? On the first day of the week. So the church gave. Hallelujah. The church gave. Amen. Okay, now next. Demonstrations of the Spirit were a part of Christian service. Alright? Demonstrations of the Spirit were a part of Christian service. Look at Romans 12:1. Okay, that means that you will find spiritual gifts in operation. Amen. When we are gathered together. Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, okay, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Underline that. Your reasonable service. See that? Okay, then it continues to explain how. Look at verses 6-8. Okay, verses 6-8. It says, having then gifts. See that? Online gifts, okay? Differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Underline that. See that? That is the service. Come on. Okay, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Underline that, okay? Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it. Underline that. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, underline that, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, underline that, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, okay? He who leads, underline that, he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness, underline that, okay? He who shows mercy. So the church served via our gifts. Do you see that? They served via their gifts. These gifts were given to benefit the church. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 12:4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Let's see how Paul says it there. 1 Corinthians 12:4. He says, there are diversities of gifts, amen, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now look at 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. Underline that. The profit of all. Or for the common good in the Greek. Okay? For the common good in the Greek. So the church has a charismatic history. Do you see that? The church has a charismatic history. Okay? Our services must be for edification via the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Via the things of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Okay, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now why? Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You see that? And look at 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to who? To men, underline that, to men. Okay, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies what? The church. Underline that. Edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless, you see that? He indeed interprets that the church, underline that, the church may receive edification, underline that, receive edification. You see that? So we serve God by edifying others with our gifts. Do you see that there? Okay, we worship God, okay, by edifying others with our gifts. So the gifts of the Spirit were not given for show off, all right, but to bless others. Amen. Say, the gifts of the Spirit were not given to show off, but to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Okay, so we can have demonstrations of the Spirit and of power as part of our services. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, now next, okay, the church fellowship together as worship. The church fellowship together as worship. Look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42, okay? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. Underline that. Fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now that word fellowship here, it translates the Greek koinonia. Okay? K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. The O after N is accentuated. Okay? The O after N is accentuated. Okay, this word has to do with communion or intimacy. Okay, communion or intimacy, whereby people see themselves as one. You follow that? So there was oneness in the early church. That is fellowship. Look at verse 11 of that same chapter. Okay, verse 11. It says, now all who believed were together. Underline that. That is fellowship. Okay, were together and had all things in common. Underline that. All things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all. Underline that. Among all, as anyone had need. And look at 46. So continuing daily with one accord, underline that, one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see that? So there was fellowship, right? Oneness, right? Togetherness, right? They gathered together. Okay, now we must differentiate church gatherings from social events. Okay, we must distinguish church gatherings from social events. The church is not a social event. You follow that? Now you notice that the early church gathered around the things of God. Amen? Church gatherings were not merely social events. No. They gathered around spiritual things. Okay? You see that they fellowshiped around the written word. Look at verse 42 again. Okay? Verse 42 again. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see that? Underline that, okay? Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Underline fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Underline prayers. Okay? So, in the local church, we fellowship, right? But our fellowship is around spiritual things. Do you follow that? Around spiritual things. So if we gather to eat, as we are eating, we are talking about spiritual things. Do you get it? Even after eating, we'll pray. Now that is what differentiates the church from social gatherings. Every gathering must leave us edified. Do you get it now? So that is the difference. Okay, every activity we engage in as we fellowship one with another must make us better in the faith. You follow that? So we fellowship around spiritual things. You see that the early church fellowshiped in prayer. Look at Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. They fellowshiped in prayer. Acts 4:31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see that? So fellowship for what? Prayer. You see that again? Not only that, okay, they also served together in ministry projects. Hallelujah. They serve together in church projects. Now that is what the entire book of Philippians is about. Amen. Christians coming together to serve in ministry projects. Look at Philippians 4:3. Hallelujah. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Philippians 4:3. It says, and I urge you therefore, through companion, help those women. Underline that. Help those women who labored with me, underline that, okay, labored with me in the gospel, okay, with Clement also, underline that, Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, underline that, my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. You see that? So, believers came together to help Paul's ministry. Then you see what he does here? He tells the Philippians to assist them also. Do you see that? So he told them, assist those who assisted me. Do you see that? You see that the Philippians also sent Paul money. Amen. See verse 14, Philippians 4. Okay, verse 14, Philippians 4. It says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Underline that. You shared in my distress. Now what does he mean by that? Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. You see that? So that's what it means, okay? But you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid. Underline that. You sent aid once and again. Underline that. And again. So twice, right? Okay, for my necessities, underline that, my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. You get it? So what they gave him was much. You see that? I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Underline that. Those are material things, okay? The things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Hallelujah. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see that? So we can gather together to meet the needs of our leaders. Do you follow that? To take up church projects, right? Just like the Philippians did. Do you see that? So we can gather together, right? Okay? And do one or two things here and there by ourselves. You follow that? Okay? We also help other church members who are in need. Amen? We also help other church members who are in need. Look at Acts 4:34. Acts 4:34, okay? Acts 4:34. It says, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet." Okay? That is, they put it in the apostles' control. Amen? The resources, right? Right? Okay? And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. Underline that. They distributed to each one as anyone had need. You see that? So they gave to poor Christians, right? Christians who had need. You see that in Acts 11, there was a famine in Judea. Okay? And the church sent relief. Amen? To Judea during a famine. In Acts 11, okay? The church sent relief to Judea during a famine. Let's see that. Acts 11:27. Okay? And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the day of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, do you see that? Okay, determined to send relief to the brethren. Underline that. Determined to send relief to the brethren, okay, dwelling in Judea. These they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You see that? So by our fellowship, we can help one another. You follow that? We can help one another. Paul instructs that we bear one another's burdens. Look at Galatians 6 verse 2. Galatians 6 2. Okay, Galatians 6 2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Clear? Clear? Okay, see 1 Corinthians 12:26. Okay, so being part of a local church means I'm no longer on my own. Do you get it? I'm now with people. You follow that? They help me, I help them. Do you see that? Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:26. There is nothing like being a loner anymore. Once you're part of a local church. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:26. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." Clear? Clear? Okay? "Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." You see that? So, when we see one brother in need, we must assist. You follow that? We must come together as one. That is a local church. Our unity gives glory to God the Father. Hallelujah. See 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Okay, it says, "Therefore, comfort each other." Underline that. Comfort each other and edify one another. Underline that. Edify one another, just as you also are doing. You see that? So there must always be that sense of unity amongst us. Say we are one. Say we are one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, now you find a particular word used frequently in the epistles. Okay, one word is used frequently in the epistles. Now, it's the Greek word allelon. Okay, allelon. That's A-L-L-E-L-O-N. A-L-L-E-L-O-N. Okay, the E accentuated. The O also accentuated. Now, this word literally means one another. Okay, one another. Mutual or together. One another, mutual or together. Now, it is often used in the epistles to describe our oneness within the local church. This word allelon, okay, is used very often within the epistles, okay, to describe our oneness, our togetherness within the local church. Now let's run through quickly as some of its occurrences in the New Testament. Look at Ephesians 4:26 or 25. Ephesians 4:25. Okay, Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Underline that. One another. That's that word, okay? Allelon. One another. You see that? Okay? Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:3. We're running through now, okay? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, okay, allelon, others, underline that, okay, others, better than himself, okay. See Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. It says, bearing with one another, that's that word, underline it, okay, one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See that? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. Underline that, that's that word. One another, and to all, just as we do to you. Okay, see Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24, okay? It says, and let us consider one another, underline that, that's that word, one another, in order to stir up love and good works, okay? See 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22, okay? It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another, underline that, one another, allelon. Okay, frequently with a pure heart. Look at 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:9. Okay, 1 Peter 4:9. It says, be hospitable to one another. Underline that. One another without grumbling. Okay, 1 Peter 5:14. 1 Peter 5:14. It says, greet one another. Underline that. One another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10. Okay, 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love what? One another. Underline that. Allelon. One another. You see that? So in the local church, there's always this one another. Do you see that now? You see how frequently it's used, right? There's always this one another, this allelon. You follow that? So we are seen as a group, not individuals, within the local church. Say we are family. Say we are family. Say we are family. Say we are family. Come on. Say we are family. Praise the Lord. Okay? And because we are family, we love one another. Okay? So fellowship is part of Christian worship. Do you see that now? It is a part of Christian worship. Okay, so have a relationship with other Christians in your local church. Don't be a loner. Do you get it? Now I tell you, after service, don't just rush out. Talk to the brother sitting next to you. Amen? The sister next to you. Say we are one. Say we are one. Say we are family. Praise the Lord. Okay, then lastly under this, okay, evangelism is part of Christian service. Amen? Evangelism is part of Christian service. Now this will be external, right? Okay, you see that Acts 2:47 tells us, Acts 2:47, it tells us that, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay, Acts 2:47. So this means that men were being saved daily. Do you get it? That's what it means, added to the church. Okay, daily. It means that men were being saved daily. Now the question is, how was this happening? Amen. How was this happening? Now you see that the statements of Jesus before he leaves the earth physically now, okay, points to a centrifugal work of the church. You know what that means? Okay? A centrifugal work of the church. So the church is designed to spread out in its ministry. Do you follow that? The church is designed to spread out in its ministry. Look at Acts 1:8. Okay? Acts 1:8. Our Lord Jesus speaking there. Okay? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Underline that, Jerusalem, okay? And in all Judea. Underline that, all Judea. And Samaria. Underline Samaria. And look at this. And to the end of the earth. Underline that. The end of the earth. Okay? So, the work of the church would not be limited to one place. Do you see that? It would move to the ends of the earth. You see that? Similarly, in Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of what? All the nations. Underline that. All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the local church in one area would spread out toward more areas. Do you see that? Look at Luke 24:46. Luke 24:46, okay? Then he said to them, he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to what? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Underline that. All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the preaching would start where we are. You follow that? In our Jerusalem. Now that's UI for us. Amen? Amen. Okay? Now from our Jerusalem, it will spread, right, to every part of the world. Now this is how the Lord added to the church daily those who have been saved. Acts 2:47. You see that? By evangelism. Praise the Lord. So the early church evangelized daily. Okay? The early church evangelized daily in obedience to Jesus' command. Okay? We find that missionaries were given authority by their local church in the book of Acts. Okay, look at Acts 13:1. Okay, you can't just stand up and say, I'm a missionary. Amen. They were given authority, okay, by their local church. Acts 13:1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they what? Send them away. You see that? So only the local church has the right to send forth a minister. You see that? To send forth a missionary. Only the local church has that right to send forth a missionary. Okay, let me say this to you, that a missionary without a local church is submitted to is a red flag. Amen? Is a red flag. You know, today in Nigeria, they call them evangelists. He's just going from one church to another, one church to another. Say, who's your pastor? I don't have. What's your local church? I don't have. Is a red flag. You see, that was not how it was in the early church. You see that, right? Okay? The local church sends forth missionaries. Is a local church. Okay? See, Acts 15:3. Acts 15:3. It says, so being sent on their way by what? By what? The Holy Ghost, a vision, a dream, huh? A supernatural appearance by the church. You see that? So they are commissioned by who? The church. Okay? They pass through, underline that, okay, by the church. Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Okay? So you see, they were commissioned by a local church. Now, not only that, after they had gone out to preach, missionaries were to report back to their local assemblies. You follow that? They were to report back to the local church, their local assemblies. Look at Acts 14:25. or pardon me, Acts 14:27. Okay, Acts 14:27. It says, when they had come back, now come back from what? Missionary work. Okay, and gathered the church together, underline that, okay, church together, they reported, see that, underline that, okay, reported all that God had done with them, underline that, done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, that is, many Gentiles believed, okay, that's what that means, okay, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So the missionaries in Bible days were submitted to the local church. You see that even the local church supported them. Amen. Materially. See Philippians 4 again. Okay, Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15. It says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid, right? Once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. You see that? So they sent aid, right? Money gifts. Evangelism was submitted to the authority of the local church. Okay? So when you go out on outreach, you represent your local church as you go. Do you follow that? Okay? And you are meant to come back with a report. Do you see that there? You see that there? In the scriptures. Now, note as well that evangelism goes beyond just words. Okay? It goes beyond just words. You know, I've told you in this church that in evangelism, actions speak just as loud, remember that, as words. Not louder, okay, just as loud as words. Now it is true that words are involved in preaching. Look at Acts 10:13. In fact, primarily, okay, words are involved in preaching. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. Okay, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Underline that. They have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Underline hear and a preacher. Okay? And how shall they preach? Underline preach. Okay? Unless they are sent. Now sent by who? Thank you very much. Okay? The church. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Underline preach and glad tidings, okay? So evangelism is majorly in words preached. Do you see that? Evangelism is majorly in words preached. But note, however, that actions are also involved. Amen? Not just words. Look at Matthew 5:16. As we begin to close gradually now, amen. Matthew 5:16. Okay, Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Underline that. Your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. So, my good works will bring glory to God the Father. You see that? You see that? Okay. Also, Philippians 2:14. Philippians 2:14. Okay, quickly. Philippians 2:14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Underline without fault in the midst. Okay, you see that? Among whom you shine as light in the world. You see that? Underline shine as light. Okay, so my character reveals God, right, to the world. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11, okay? Quickly. 1 Peter 2:11. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Underline that. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable. Underline that. Conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, now look at this, by your good works. Underline that. by your good works. Which one? They observe. Underline that. They observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. So you see, my character, right, brings glory to God. Look at 1 Peter 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word. So that will be unbelieving husbands, okay? Did you get that? Okay, they without a word, underline that, without a word, or you can say without preaching, okay, maybe one by what? By what? The conduct. You see that? Underline that, the conduct of their wives. Look at 2, when they observe, hallelujah, underline the observe, okay, your chaste conduct, underline that, chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Okay, so the character of the believing wife, right, can turn our unbelieving spouse toward faith in Christ. You see that? Okay, so do you see that your witnessing doesn't end once outreach is over? Some people think that is the only time they are supposed to witness. No, your lifestyle, okay, your character, your conduct is expected to point men to Christ even when you are not preaching. You follow that? So, the local church is where God's people are trained to reveal Christ to the world via word and conduct. Do you see that now? That is why God gave local churches to be a blessing to those within and those without. Do you see that? So, the ministry of the local church will bless believers and bring in unbelievers to partake of the same blessing. Do you see that now? That is why God gave local churches. Praise the Lord. Okay, now lastly here. Amen. Lastly, as we conclude now, let's answer a question. We ask a question, then we answer it, then we're done. Okay, so this will be another subheading. Amen. Now the question is simple. Are politics and charity roles of the church? Amen. Are politics and charity roles of the church? And you see that many people have mistaken the role of the church as political. Amen. There has been this ancient argument between Bible scholars as to the relationship of church and state. Amen. The relation of church and state. How does the church relate to civil authorities? Amen. You see, depending on where you go, you see some people have even taught evangelism as charity. You know, building roads. Amen. Giving to the poor. Taking rice. Amen. For outreach. Okay. Some people have taught that as, you know, evangelism. Okay. So now, let's begin like this. Should the church be involved in politics? Huh? Should the church be involved in politics? Is that one of our roles? Now, while we mustn't see socio-political duties as the main function of the church, there are certain Bible texts that give a bit of room for them. Okay, a bit of room. For example, Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10. Please turn your Bible there quickly, quickly, quickly. Galatians 6:10. Okay, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Underline that. Do good to all, okay? Especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you see, it says here we are to do good to what? All. Now, this would also include members of the society, right? Fellow citizens, right? However, this goodness must be focused primarily on church members. Amen? You see that there, right? It says what? Especially, underline that. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10b. Okay? So, before I give to charity, I should first of all give to a brother in church. Amen? I should first of all give to a brother in church who is in need. Okay? Those of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Okay? You see that in Acts, church resources were used primarily for church members. Did you get that? In the book of Acts, church resources were used primarily for church members. Now we'll run through quickly, okay? Acts 2:44. Okay, we're back here again. Acts 2:44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. 45. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all. Underline that. Among all, as anyone had need. Now, who's all? Here. Now, in context of verse 44, all who believed. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, resources were distributed among who? Christians. Believers. Okay? Also, in Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed. Underline that. Those who believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither did anyone. Now, anyone among those who believed. Do you get it? Okay, say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they, that is all who believed, okay, had all things in common. Hallelujah. Okay, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who believed, right? Who lacked. You see that? For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone. Now, anyone among those who believed, okay, had need. Underline that. Distributed to each as anyone had need. Anyone amongst those who believed. So, the needs of the church were met first. Do you see that? The needs of church members were met first. Look at Romans 12:13. Romans 12:13. Okay? Romans 12:13. It says, distributing to the needs of who? The saints. Underline that. Needs of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Okay? The needs of the saints. Okay? You see that the widows in the church were also provided for. 1 Timothy 5:3. Okay, widows were also taken care of. 1 Timothy 5:3. Okay, but widows within the church. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:3. It says, honor widows who are really widows. Now jump down to verse 9 of that same chapter. Okay, it says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. That means she's a church member, right? Right? Into the number, right? Okay, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. You see that? So a widow who did good to the saints should be taken care of when her husband dies. You see that there? Okay? She should be taken care of when her husband dies. You see that the Apostle James also teaches helping Christians in need. Okay, see James 2:15. It teaches helping Christians in need. James 2:15. It says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You see that? So don't pray for a brother in need. Amen. Give to him. You see that? Then pray. You follow that? Don't pray yet. Give first, then pray. That's what James is saying here, okay? Then he concludes by saying in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see that? So faith must be accompanied by good works, or else it is dead or unproductive. That is what dead there means, okay? Unproductive. It doesn't have any profit, okay? No benefit. Hallelujah. Okay? Then 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17, okay? It says, but whoever has these world's goods, so those will be material things, right? Okay? And sees his brother, underline that, brother in need. So that would be what? His brother in Christ. Do you see that? And shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So do you see that charity is taught in the epistles as something done to fellow Christians? Do you see that so far? Fellow Christians, says a brother, right? A widow in church, a sister, fellow Christians. So while we might help the society, our focus must be on church members who have needs. Do you follow that? So we can help the society, but our main focus primarily is on church members who have needs. And that is why for me personally, recently, I stopped doing something. You know, I stopped giving to Christians who I don't know. Amen? Amen? You know, I remember when I was much younger, someone would text me over Facebook, you know, saying, "Pastor, I have this need, I have that need," and I wire him thousands of nairas. Amen? But after a point, I just stopped. Because I observed that, you know, we live in a very dangerous world. Amen? In this world, if you're not careful, if you're not discerning, people will chew you up and spit you out. Amen? Everyone is looking for who to manipulate. You follow that? You see, a Christian, he doesn't go to work. Amen? He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything to better his life. He's not diligent, but he's always on Facebook every time. Amen? Typing doctrine. He doesn't go to work. Always typing doctrine. Okay? Then he now comes, he sees a minister that he thinks, okay, this one is well to do. Okay, let me just have a permanent ATM. Amen? From him. You know, one even told me that, you know, your surname is Banks. Okay, so today when it seems like pastor is very careful about those he trusts, understand it, okay? He says, "Your name is Banks now. That means you have money in the bank." He actually told me that. A stranger on Facebook. But this one was Instagram. Okay, so you know what I've done recently? If I don't know you, okay, I've reduced how much I give to strangers. Amen? It's my money, amen? Amen? So I can do with it as I please. So I'd rather save that money for that brother in church. Amen? That sister in church that has need. Amen? Because I know you, I'll see you next Sunday. Amen? I'll still see you next year. Ha! Not a Facebook theologia. Hallelujah. But money no day inside pockets. Praise the Lord. Okay? So the church is not a charity organization. Is that clear now? Okay? Charity is not the main role of the church. Any form of charity is to fellow Christians within the local church. You follow that? Okay? Same with politics. Amen? The church must not see itself as a political organization. Amen? It is not. The church is not a political party. Now, yes, of course, we are instructed to pray for political leaders, right? Right? We are instructed to pray for political leaders. Okay, see 1 Timothy 2:1. Quickly. 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men." Now look at this. "For kings." Underline that. Kings. Today that will be the president. Amen. Or president. Okay. "And all who are in authority." So that will be the governor. Amen. Right? The local government chairman. Okay. The judges. Amen. Okay. Underline that. Okay. "Kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." So you see, we are instructed here to pray for our president, amen, and his team. Praise the Lord. Okay, not only that, we are also instructed to obey political leaders. Okay, to obey political rulers. Romans 13 verse 1. Okay, it says, "Let every soul be subject," say, "be subject," okay, "to the governing authorities." See that? "For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." You see that? So it says, obey them, right? Be subject to them. You see that verses 6 and 7 instruct us to pay taxes. Okay, see verse 6? It says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes." Okay? "For they are God ministers attending continually to this very thing." You see that? Okay? "Render therefore to all their due." Okay? Taxes, to whom taxes are due. Customs, right? To whom customs. Fair, to whom fair. Honor, to whom honor. Okay? You see that? So we are instructed to honor political leaders. Okay, but notice, that we do all of this as citizens, not as a church. Do you follow that? All the instructions we just saw now concerning political leadership involves citizens, not the church. Amen? So the church has no right, put that in capital letters, no right to act on political matters. Do you follow that? That is not our job. Do you get that? That is not why God gave local churches. Do you see that now? Okay, but citizens within the church can engage in political activities outside the church. Do you get it? Can you follow that? Okay, so the citizens within can engage in political. So that means that you should not come to church in a church service. You are the pastor and you are teaching 10 keys to politics or 10 keys to pass and to win an election. Do you get it? That is not the role of the job. But outside the church, when you are among citizens, you can teach. You know, maybe you have people who are aspiring to be president. I mean, you can teach that. Do you get it? But not in church. Hallelujah. Okay, so citizens can engage in socio-political activities. Amen? 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 Okay, citizens can contest, right? Within the church, right? They can vote. Amen? They can even protest for their rights. It is your right to protest for your right. Hallelujah. Okay? But that is not the place of the church. It will be funny if tomorrow you now see church carrying plaque. Say we are going. So it's okay. That is not our job. Do you get it? That is not our job. Okay? So God did not give local churches for charity or political endeavors. Do you see that now? That is not the role of the church. Not for charity, neither for political endeavors. Okay? But for the building of the saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? And the evangelizing of the world. Do you see this? So this is why God gave local churches. You know, if we would just stick to why God gave local churches, you know, we will do more. Don't you think so? We will do more. We will be a blessing, not just to fellow Christians, but also to the entire world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you learn today? Okay, lift your hands. Give God praise. We'll continue from here in the next service. Give Him praise. Just lift your hands. Thank Him for the beauty that is the local church. Thank you.